Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It's high noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. We're out in Ashburn holding it down. I honestly don't know where our next guest is. Andrew Golden covers the Washington Nationals for the Washington Post. I believe you were in Dallas for MLB winter meetings, but I don't know if those are over. Let's start with a simple question, Andrew. Where are you?
I'm in Dallas. I'm actually getting some tacos right now before I go back to the hotel. But yeah, we're in Dallas, and it's been a good time. It's been a busy time.
Well, let's start by telling you we are a radio program that supports tacos. So congratulations.
I'm in Dallas. I had to, right? I had to.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Good by me. So you wrote a really interesting story from everything happening down there. That has kind of gotten bumped down a line because the Nats won the MLB lottery. They got the first overall pick. Yeah. How big of a deal is this? Who's the guy you think they're taking?
I mean, it's a huge deal, obviously, right? Like, it's like you have every option you want at your disposal, right? You can figure out whoever you want to get. I think it's an exciting time. Obviously, the Nationals have had two number one picks in the past, and those turned out pretty well, right? Bryce Harper, Steven Strasburg. Like, you don't do much better than that, right? And so I think Ethan Holliday is kind of a guy that Jackson Holliday's brother, son of Matt Holliday. I think it's a big name at the top of many draft boards. There's Jace Lavallette, who's from Texas A&M. He's an outfielder. Those are kind of the two guys who I've heard a lot mentioned in terms of the top pick, but obviously we're really far away. It's a big obviously change to take out how those seasons go, but obviously a big deal for the Nats. You're adding another talented prospect to the system.
Is the plan, you think, more about getting some more bats, or is it any pitchers out there?
Repeat that again?
I say, would the plan be going forward at this point now, do you want more bats, or you think they want more pitching?
Yeah, I think the key, when you look at their offseason needs, I think they need some power at the corner infield and that designated hitter. Mike Rizzo has said that multiple times, both at GM meetings and these winter meetings. They need a first baseman. They need a DH. They need a third baseman. I think adding any of those positions would help them kind of upgrade their power, which they really struggled in. They finished, I think, 29th in slugging percentage last year, and towards the bottom of the league in home runs, too. And so they haven't really performed super well when it comes to hitting for power, and that's kind of where the league is shifted towards. And so they definitely give that more this offseason.
All right. So the number one pick is awesome, and it's really encouraging. And there was stuff to be encouraged about last season. There's obviously some young players that are really good and might become great. But I just remain in a pretty dark place organizationally. I think what you saw with Kyle Finnegan, to not tender him, I'm a true believer in Mike Rizzo. I think Rizzo is fantastic at what he does. I think I'm a true believer in Davey, right? That guy can guide a ship over the incredible marathon that is a baseball season. I think they're being completely undercut by ownership. I think ownership refuses to spend a freaking dollar. And as long as that's the case, they're just going to continue to submarine the organization. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's definitely tough when you look at it. And I think you know, you guys are both football guys, right? I think it's an interesting thing, right? Like when you get a rookie quarterback, like the goal is to win on a rookie deal, right? It's like 4 to 5 year deal. You ain't the piece around him when the contracts are low. When his contract is low, you have to spend a ton of money on him. I feel the same way about where the Nationals kind of had, right? Like you have all these really talented players on controllable contracts, pre-arbitration, pre-free agency, and you see how much guys are doing now. So I think what makes sense when you have this talented core to kind of add around them and find some veterans. I just don't get the sense that they're going to spend a ton of money to sign any major names. I think they'll definitely add, and they know they need to sign a first baseman and a third baseman. I just think the extent of how good that player will be, I just don't know. I just get the sense that they're not going to spend a ton or spend the way they did, you know, back in the early 2010s when they were really kind of adding to their roster. I just don't get the sense they're going to spend like that point in time. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting time for the Nats in terms of how do they make sure that they can
build around that roster and put pieces around their young core that can help them be successful and win.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so infuriating. I mean, obviously the most recent highlight is obviously Soto getting almost $1 billion. But it's just so infuriating, the team, to watch a World Series, a World Championship team get completely gutted because they decided to stop spending cash. And okay. I credit them for spending the money before. They deserve a ton of credit. The Scherzer contract, so many things. But what they've done since is just infuriating. Let me ask you about this. Talking with Andrew Golden, covers the Washington Nationals for the Washington Post. You could follow him on Twitter if you're so inclined, at Andrew C. Golden. I don't know this dude. Maybe you do. Robert Murray reports this morning that the Nats are engaged in talks with Christian Walker, the free agent first baseman, about possibly coming here. In your story earlier in the week, I think you kind of said not to expect that. Part of me feels like this is just spin, that the Nats want their name out there with somebody. Where do you think they are with Walker specifically?
Yeah, I think they like Christian Walker. As I wrote my story, the Nats have made it very clear they like Christian Walker, and it's not, you know, it's not a secret.
I think where I was saying the story too, and it's not a little bit like a little bit. I saw a lot of back and forth on Twitter about it. I think it's a matter of like, it's not. I don't know. I don't necessarily know if they're out of their price range. It just depends on how much some desperate team is willing to spend. There's obviously going to be a lot of teams that are very interested in Christian Walker, who are playoff contenders. They might be willing to pay over market value for Christian Walker. So it's a matter of will the Nationals compete with that and convince him that going to play for a team that's on the rise is worth it versus playing for a contender. So I think it'll be interesting to see. The Nationals definitely like Christian Walker. They definitely want him. I mean, a really valuable player. I just don't know if the New York Yankees come in because they lost out on Soto and they need to prove that like they can build their roster. If they go and spend a crap ton for, you know, for Christian Walker, if they need him, like, can the Nationals compete with that? I'm not sure, given where they are budgetary-wise, if they can really compete with them. I guess that's my sense. It's not they can't get Christian Walker. It's just a matter of how much will he cost.
Thank you, Andrew. Let's put Andrew on hold for a second and see if we can figure out this tunnel he appears to be coming in and out of. I don't know anything, Brian. You can argue I know absolutely nothing.
You know a little bit.
Okay, Chris, cite me.
Yeah, but you're 33 in baseball, and you can, if you're a guy who can play.
Sure.
Can play.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew, what would you say the odds of them actually getting Walker is?
Yeah, I would say the odds are low. I mean, I just think when you look at what Christian Walker's probably looking for, he probably wants a chance to win a championship, right? And I think that, like, I think if you're from his perspective, right, you'd rather go to a team that you know is a playoff contender versus a team that could be. And so I think there will be teams that can kind of sway him on that. And so I would say that my personal guess is the chances are low, but it's not impossible. It's just a matter of how much it will cost.
I'm with you there. It's certainly not impossible. It'll just matter how much it costs, and they won't pay it. I mean, it's not that complicated. It's not like the figuring out inflation or whatever. Andrew, obviously, I don't know the Lerner family dynamic, but something has shifted from this team being consistently top five, top ten in spending to, are they bottom five now? I mean, I know the Pirates and the White Sox and the A's run pretty shoddy operations. Like, where do they rank overall in spending?
They're pretty low. And, like, even the A's signed Luis Severino to a three-year, $63 million deal this offseason. But even the A's kind of spent, and they were in the mix for Max Fried, too. So it's not like the A's aren't spending either. The Nationals are pretty low down there. They don't really have a ton of money committed to any player with Patrick Corbin off the books and Trevor Williams off the books. I think at the moment, given arbitration and how things might go, I think their biggest contract might be to K-Bear Ruiz or Luis Garcia, depending on how much Luis gets in arbitration. But it's not any more than $6 million. And so they have plenty of money to spend. And they're kind of towards the bottom because they already have a ton of money long-term committed to any one player, except for K-Bear Ruiz.
I wonder if they do have plenty of money to spend. talking with Andrew Golden here from the Washington Post, what is the status with them selling the team?
Well, as we talked about last year, they decided not to sell the team, but that doesn't obviously preclude them from still selling the team if they get the right price. But at the moment, they said they're not selling the team, but obviously. what that means. Like, you need to invest in the team, right? If you are going to keep the team, like, it's really important to prove to fans and people around that, like, you're going to take the time to invest to bring in the players that will help them be successful. And so I just don't get the sense that they're really at the moment committed to putting in the resources, but we'll see how things transpire this offseason.
I also don't get that sense, Andrew. And I, it's tough because I love baseball. I love the Nats. I see what they're building, and I get, like, there's nobody I'd want building my baseball organization more than Mike Rizzo.
But the owners operate the team like they don't want to be in here for the long haul.
Totally.
I think they do believe in the young pieces that they have, and they want to give them every opportunity to play. And I think, you know, the past couple of off seasons, I could see you making an argument for, like, you want to make sure you're not blocking James Wynn. You want to make sure you're not blocking Dylan Cruz. I think they do believe in the pieces that they do have there, but I also think, like, there isn't any major prospect coming up at first base. They need starting pitching. Brady House at third base, so you can make the argument that you don't want to block Brady House, but, like, there isn't a guy at first base or starting pitching that, like is really, like, you're blocking, right? Like, I think, like, those are the places where I think you can add while also letting those young guys develop. So, I think those are that's the major question, right? I think that Christian Walker would be a great fit. I think there are a lot of starting pitchers in the market that would be a great fit, too. It's just a matter of, you know, how much you're willing to put into that.
Yeah, I mean, I just looked up Walker's stats. Pretty consistent pop for coming out of his bat, power numbers and stuff. He would really help them. I just don't think they're going to do it. I'd love to be proven wrong.
Right? Like, I think he's also a great veteran leader, too. That's all I've heard from people here is that he's a great veteran leader, too. And, like, Patrick Corbin left. Kyle Finnegan was a great leader, too. So I'm kind of looking at that clubhouse. I'm like, who's guiding these guys? And I think they need some veteran presence. I don't think that's an understatement to say. And they need veterans. And then Rizzo said that. Davey said that. And I think everybody's pretty aware that, like, it's important to have a veteran who can kind of steer these guys in the right direction. I think they need some vets.
That's obviously, yeah. Talking with Andrew Golden here from the Washington Post. Outside of the Walker thing specifically, when you talk to other clubs, even other reporters, who, you know, all the folks that are at these kinds of meetings, what is the biggest story down there? It's got to be the Soto contract, right?
Oh yeah, the biggest story is the Soto contract and the ripple effect of that. I mean, everybody was looking at their phones and freaking out when Soto signed, and people were shocked. Obviously, you knew, like, there's a chance he could get over $700 million, but just to see the number and the value is just very shocking, you know. And so that's kind of been the main story, and then the ripple effect of that is, like, the teams who lost out, how are they going to bounce back and recover? And the Yankees obviously made a splash last night with Max Fried. But I think the main thing is just, like, that Soto has been kind of dominating the conversation and the subject, and everything else can kind of following as an after effect of what happened with Soto. There's kind of been a ripple effect.
If the Nats had only, I mean, if the Yankees had only put that suite in there, man. I don't think the suite had anything to do with it. I think the one less year and the more money, that had everything to do with it.
Totally.
Right. Right.
Yeah. going forward, what's the word on my O's down there? They doing anything?
Yeah, they signed Tyler O'Neill and they signed Gary Sanchez. So it looks like they're trying to add some veterans in their clubhouse too. And so, you know, obviously Corbin Burnes is a big question, right? I think he's the next kind of big domino to fall. And obviously he's a great starter, but obviously look at some of his underlying stats. It seems like he's kind of trending downwards. I mean, his strikeout numbers have gone down the past three seasons, but he's a hot commodity here. I think there's going to be some team who's going to pay big for a starter like, you know, Corbin Burnes to have in the rotation. So. But yeah, the Orioles have been in the mix. They obviously signed Tyler O'Neill. They signed Gary Sanchez, and we'll see what else they do in terms of starting pitching. They're going to have to add some more starting pitching. So we'll see if it's Burnes or if they go elsewhere.
That's all I want from the Nats. Be in the mix. Yeah. I'm not expecting you to sign Soto to $1 billion. Okay?
You know, everybody thought that was going to happen when he left the first time.
Right.
He'll be back. No, he won't.
Nobody chooses to lie to themselves more than Nats fans right now. Like, if you're buying what they're selling, good luck. But specific to the Orioles, why I wanted to bring them up, I know one of the lies the Lerners say they don't have any money is because of the TV deal, and I do understand how toxic and troublesome that was for the Nationals. Like, legitimately, Angelos was just awful and a terrible business partner, and they were in a terrible deal. Is there any chance that gets resolved now that the O's have new ownership? And by all accounts, the new ownership there is it's similar to what happened with the Commanders, where you've got great people running an operation now.
Yeah, my understanding of it is that there's a much better chance than what it was before, if that makes sense. And so I don't know how close they're progressing towards that, but I definitely know that there's a better likelihood with new ownership and a better relationship than before. And so I think obviously there's a better chance of that happening. I think it would really help clarify things in terms of, you know, how much the team is valued at. I think that would definitely make a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. Well, Andrew, listen, man, we appreciate your time, and I hope you enjoy those tacos, man.
Yeah, I will. Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it. Having me on.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, Andrew Golden there from the Washington Post. Give him a follow at Andrew C. Golden. Jeff and Landini, I'd like to ask Jeff a question, assuming my man is there. Jeff, what's your optimism level that the Nats kind of do anything of merit in the free agency market?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just seen the stream.
You just saw Chick come in and say hello to everybody?
Yeah.
That's Mr. Chick.
I hope they do something. The fans, their fans keep talking that the Nats need to do something in free agency. Yo, can you turn my mic down? Oh, no, that's my headphones. My headphones are blazing in my head right now.
Jeff, we hear you just fine, buddy.
Yeah, we hear you, y'all.
Yeah, I hear everything at a crazy rate in my head. But I hope they do something, man. Make it exciting for the fans. I'm not going to lie. You get somebody named Walker over to the Nats, I might have to jump my fandom.
Oh, get a new jersey?
Yeah.
So, a Nats jersey, you mean?
Yeah. Now, Dylan Cruz is pulling me over, bro. You might see the switch next season.
Why Dylan Cruz pulling you over?
Just because I watched him from when I was working with the SEC Network. I watched him come up, like the situation. And that's cool. Washington.
Man, it's in your town. It's your home.
I get it,
man.
Landfill, you have a unique ability. You have a doctorate level degree. I mean, you clearly understand BS and how to cut through it. You have a PhD, Dr. Professor Landini. I'd like you to lean on your academic expertise and tell us if you believe the Nats will actually be involved in any meaningful free agent acquisitions.
No.
And Landfill, just so
we're clear, every building you see has learner on it. They got some money.
Landfill, just so we're clear, do you have faith in Davey Martinez, the Nats manager?
Yeah.
Do you have faith in Mike Rizzo, the Nats general manager?
Yes.
Do you have faith in ownership?
Absolutely not.
All right. We went to the academic side of the aisle to get these answers. I don't want to keep harping on this because I understand that hope springs eternal in baseball and that grass could be so damn green and I hope to go to spring training and like there's so much to like about what they're building, but the only way it works with building a young team the right way, which is what they're doing, is you also supplement it with veteran free agents. Like that's how baseball worked. That's how the Nats built their World Series
team. You got to have young and old. You can't have all young people or all old people. It does not work.
That's how they built their World Series team. Like the part of me that really gets upset is like they know what they did to build a winner. Because it wasn't just a World Series. They were going to the playoffs
Rizzo
all the time.
Rizzo know what he did. They won't let him do it.
Right. But they know they had an open checkbook. They spent money. Mm-hmm. And now they don't. Mm-hmm. So, like, to say anything else
we got one.
Is just lying.
We bought you one.
You're just lying.
We're trying to capitalize off.